Our weekly podcast at Breakfast with Benz after the Mike Tomlin press conference here at the UPMC Rooney Sports Complex on the South Side. This week with Chris Adamski. Joe Rutter not back yet from Indianapolis as he's traveling following the Monday night game, but more specifically celebrating his birthday, right?
That's right. Happy birthday to Joe, right?
Happy 21st, Joe.
What better way than to drive a third of the way across the country with Mark Caboli in a car with you? I mean, I can't imagine a better way to spend my 29th birthday as it is for Joe, I'm sure.
So how's that working out? Are we like splitting the gas and mileage with the Athletic? How does that go?
I don't know. I know the food bill went way down because I'm not on the trip this time.
But Caboli is.
Well, I just hope Caboli makes it without like tearing a ligament of some sort.
That's right. If he was driving, he might actually tear another Achilles because he has to go, you know, brake, gas. That's pretty excessive for him. All right, Buzz, let's do this. Chris Adamski, always kind enough to join me here, read his coverage at Trib Live. Whenever Joe is out following the Tomlin presser, and it was not exactly extensive today, nor is it usually on a Tuesday following a late Monday night, especially when they come back on the road. Fortunately for them, it's a short trip. They weren't entirely too banged up. There were a couple injuries he rattled off. He kind of came and went very quickly around T.J. Watt, whatever that might be. And Najee Harris, he pointed out, because it was so obvious that Harris was injured, he left the game with an ab injury and did not come back. I don't know what that means for him moving forward. It didn't sound like Tomlin did either, but at least you have to be heartened by what you saw from the productivity of Benny Snell and Anthony McFarland. And then we got to see what's going on with Jaylen Warren and his hamstring, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess if you're a glass half full guy, you look at this and say the offensive line maybe is coming together and had maybe its best perhaps his best run game effort overall, or effort even, you could make the case, perhaps, of the season. Or maybe you look at it and say, is it a coincidence that one of the best running games of the season was one where Najee Harris left in the first quarter? And we could leave that out there, too.
See, I don't know about that, because actually Harris had two 90-yard games in a row, and yeah. I thought he was moving okay prior to the injury. Got the touchdown, so I don't want to put too much of that on him and draw too much of a correlation, though I understand where you're going with that. I saw a lot of that on Twitter, of course, last night. But hey, some of those yards were also picked up by a little scrambling from Kenny Pickett too.
Yeah, it was all the way around. Like I said, I'm going to more credit the offensive line, I think, for the run. I don't want to get into a hole. I feel like the Najee Harris from the running backs, whatever. Although I will say, despite, put aside Najee Harris, whatever you want to say, that seeing Benny Snell, he was so buried on the depth chart. He'd become a real good special teamer, or at least a trusted special teamer, a well-used special teamer. And he didn't get a carry all season. He hadn't been on the field for offense all season until the last week after an injury. So he'd fallen below. Not only below Jaylen Warren, but just sort of out of a consciousness for the running game and the offense in general. So to see him, and I found that stat where if he's had 17 touches in a game, he averages 5.2 yards a carry, and if he has fewer than that, he averages 2.6 yards or something way lower than that. So I always took it as if Najee Harris was hurt long term, out for a game, that Benny Snell would be the, not the bell cow in terms of we'll get 25 carries, but who would be the featured back. But in terms of, he's not much of a change of pace. The Anthony McFarland, the Jaylen Warrens are better as a third down or some of the other sorts of, I say, gadget plays, but different types of offense. Now the alarm's going off.
That's not the alarm. That's the scaffolding. So it looks like they're fixing something on the far side. Maybe that's why we're sitting here in darkness, even darker than normal. You know, one thing, I don't want to get off this and forget about it, Buzz, since you brought it up, and it's an acorn in my brain now. Let me get it out while I can. And that's the kick returns. Boy, were they bad against Indianapolis. And Cordarrelle Patterson's about as good as you're going to find.
Yeah, that is. I hadn't made that connection yet. I had moved on to next week to break down the five. Obviously, I know they have Patterson. But, yeah, when Mike Tomlin brought up, I'm like, whoa, that's an excellent point. It's not a time to have your units be struggling against probably the active – or the league, the best kickoff returner. I don't know if he's the best of all time in that
one
group, but yeah, I mean, certainly of the generation, he might be the best return man. So yeah, that's not, and it was different return men for the Colts. It wasn't just the one, this is the one that was 80 some yards. Okay, that's not good. It can't happen.
The average is like 45.
Exactly. It was repeated over and over. It wasn't just the one long return. So that screams to me more of some sort of systemic issue there that you can't just say, oh, Miles Boykin wasn't available. or something that depended on is one of the
Spillane.
Spillane, yeah, a couple special teamers there, and now we're getting real far again. Benny Snell is a big part of that coverage team.
Tomlin said he stayed on it though.
Yeah, I think yes. Last night I'm just saying going forward, but I would
maybe
imagine
not, right, yeah,
if he has to be the feature back. Next week, we'll see how that plays out. Because it's hard to read. It's always hard to read Tom in these situations on what we Najee's condition. But I almost,
you don't have Monday to gauge it around the locker room.
Exactly. Right. It's a lot. So I don't know we'll find out more to Wednesday and Thursday, I'm sure.
Well, I just don't want a kick return to be the difference between them winning the NFC South and not. Because if that was the case, Buzz, they might still be in the playoff hunt.
Steelers, fifth place in the AFC East and first place in the NFC South.
Third place in the AFC North, yeah. Fifth place in the AFC East, and then first place in the NFC South. That's their path to the playoffs. It's kind of goofy.
It is. The Steelers have always been good against NFC teams. It's kind of crazy. Now they added that fifth game, and unfortunately for them, they had to play the best team in the NFC as the fifth game this year. But they always seem to win those games, the intra-conference games, which hurts them in the tiebreakers.
Well, that's one thing. I know everybody keeps trying to concoct a way for them to still be in the playoff mix. And to me, that died the minute that they went to 3-7, because we saw 2-6 get them to 8-8 in 2013. And even by that miracle, they were still unable to qualify because of the Ryan Succop missed field goal. However, this notion that they are now alive again because they beat the Colts. First of all, win a back-to-back set of games, for crying out loud. They haven't won back-to-back games yet. Secondly, they have to win 5 of 6 to get to 9 wins. And because of what we just pointed out with all the losses to the teams in the East, they're not going to have a tiebreaker against 3 teams that are going to be in the wild card hunt.
3 things. First off, a couple memes here. Playoffs? Playoffs? We're talking about playoffs? Are you kidding me? We're going to win a game. And then the Lou Brown Major League, where Mike Tomlin went to the line. He says, we won a game today. Next week's another game. We win that. That's called a winning streak. It has happened before. But in seriousness, with the breakdown of the playoff race, it's – there is a delineation now where there's a top 7 that has a lead, right? You have 7-4. Like, I don't think people thought, especially in a 7-team playoff format, that the 7th place team would be at 7-4, right? I know that we'll see how that extrapolates out. We'll see what happens down the stretch. But you could see a scenario where you could have a 5-6 team be the 7th seed in some seasons. It probably happens. It'll probably happen. And then you say the Steelers are in the race. But I think, putting aside that they're not going to probably go on a run, but even if they do go on the run, I don't even know if this is a year where 9-8 gets you in.
The Steelers haven't lost to the Falcons since 2006. They don't quite have the dominance, so maybe they do. I have to look at the career win-loss against the Atlanta Falcons, but boy, the numbers against the Colts now are crazy. Something like 18-3 against the Colts since they moved from Baltimore, and they just dominated the series overall. Back to that game, Buzz, on Monday night. Speaking of Twitter and memes, everybody's finding every tweet that Jeff Saturday has ever sent out about clock management, and they're throwing in his face, and I'm here for it.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, now I've seen people try to mangle and twist themselves into a pretzel to say that it was the smart thing to do.
Right, because they're going to catch the Steelers in 7 defensive backs. Yeah. Well, I know that he has 2 timeouts left in his pocket, and it's the middle of Tuesday afternoon, and they still haven't been used yet.
Yeah, I can't see any way to adjust. With all due respect to Kenny Pickett and the offense, and it's been better the last couple of weeks, I don't think this is one of those situations with Patrick Mahomes where you don't leave them too much time, right? We leave the Steelers 38 seconds, they're going to go down the field and score, right? I don't think that was part of their rationale.
Not only that, and they also don't have Justin Tucker to kick a 67-yarder like he almost did against Jacksonville. But I want to go to the Pickett thing, because if we're talking about numbers that are being thrown around on Twitter and people twisting themselves into logic. Hey, that was Kenny Pickett's best game. I thought he played well. I thought he played better than the numbers indicate. Yeah. But this thing about Pro Football Focus rating him the best passer of the weekend. I mean, look at what Lawrence did. Look at what Mahomes did. Look at what Herbert did. You can tell me about the makeable throws and the catchable balls and the lack of turnover capable balls that were thrown, all that other stuff. I know he had a good game. I don't think it was what those 3 guys did.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I was surprised to see ranked at the top of the league. But I did like, there were a couple still in the first quarter there early on. I'm like, here he goes again. There's just some, because here's the thing. We know, or at least the book, right? The quote unquote book on him was he doesn't have this elite arm talent or whatever. But he's always going to make good decisions. He's going to be accurate. Was sort of what we were sold on him. And the part that's most concerning with me, and it's nitpicky now because he's been really good these last few games is that there's just some random throws he just misses, right? I don't know how that has to happen, especially if you're not going to be the guy that's going to have the elite arm. You got to make sure that you're almost perfect on the throws that you shouldn't miss, right?
Yeah.
And we still saw a handful of those. So I know I'm nitpick. I don't want to nitpick because, God forbid, people will say I'm a Kenny Pickett hater or something because I'm not anointing him in the Hall of Fame. I mean, he's still, you know, probably second to last in the league in passer rating.
Well,
whatever,
I think
so I
with this game against the Colts, to me, was essentially the kind of game I thought we'd see from him if he was starting from the beginning of the season. Like, when he was drafted, and we all talked about the ceiling might not be as high as you would like for a first-round quarterback, but the floor is higher. Like, that's the high floor kind of game I expected to see from him sooner.
Yeah, and that's and for especially being a rookie, and you're what, you know, it still was only 160. What do you got? The yardage, what the
174.
174. The yards per attempt, but aren't really high. I don't know if that's a concern going forward or not, but I think if he can, I don't say, you know, master this style of offense and this style of play as a rookie this year, then maybe you open things up as he ages a little bit more down the stretch or into his next season from there. Then I think you're cooking with something there. This can, you know, there were throws. You've seen some of them broken down on social media. You saw them live. You're like, ooh, those are some good third down, good clutch throws. The 2-point conversion throw. I mean, they're and other than the handful that I'm nitpicking, I don't know. He didn't have that many incompletions, period. So, you know, it was accurate. Now, I think I saw, I don't have it in front of me, I thought it was only the one pass to Pickens, only one more than 15 yards downfield. They won the game, didn't have to throw downfield. So, I, you know, is that a negative? Is that them limiting him? Is that him not wanting to take the chances or not having caught? I don't know. But again, I want to be positive here. I really do. I'm not trying you got to be happy, right? Especially he's starting to stack these games together. Now, the second half against Cincinnati wasn't the best for the offense overall, but other than that, you're stacking they're stacking good performances, good halves,
better performances.
And
they didn't let the second half turn into the gong show that it was against Cincinnati.
Yeah, exactly. There was a it was much different than that. And to have a comeback, you know, there's a. I do believe there's a certain intangible or whatever. I gave Mike Tomlin an out of a one-word answer when trying to find out why they believed in Pickett that way to kind of lead a comeback win like that. And he talked, and I don't know, they're going to say, I bet you he said everybody believed we were going to win this game. He probably said that last week in Cincinnati with the ball too. And then you don't come out and say it when you don't win the game. So I don't know about that or not, but I do believe there's a confidence there and there's something that, let's put it this way, this is what they said they drafted Kenny Pickett for. Is that type of, you know, these comeback type things, whatever the situational ball, and if he's going to be a high level NFL quarterback, he better be good in these situations.
Read Chris Adamski all week long at Trib Live. I'll be posting daily at Breakfast with Ben's as well as we continue to track the road to the NFC South Championship for the Pittsburgh Steelers here at Trib Live.